punching a time clock and working 9 to 5. We're talking about working around the clock, rain or shine, hot or cold, because crops and animals won't wait. Jimmy knows all about it because he lives it. And Jimmy knows what you're going through because he goes through it too. He's here to talk about it. It's seed and feed, chemicals and compost, vaccinations and irrigation. It's time for Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark.
Hey, good day to all you great stewards of the land. It's Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO. Currently, it's 90 degrees. Heat index is 90 degrees. Humidity's at 37. The wind's out of the southwest at 13 miles an hour. Gust up to 18. The forecast looks promising. I don't know. We got to be at the right spot, the right time to get one of these showers coming in. But they've got it all the way through Wednesday night now. So anyway, good time. I got a special guest in the studio with me today, Mr. Jimmy Taylor of the Taylor Ranch. And I'm going to go over some of the commodities and grains real quick before we get to him, because we got a whole show of the Jimmy and Jimmy coming up. So anyway, everybody is... don't go nowhere. You don't want to miss this. And I've already got requests from people to ask Jimmy questions, but Jimmy's kind of picky, so I ask him before the show. So he authorized all these questions. No, it's good. But no, really, I did have some people at the round table this morning ask me to quiz him a little bit, and I'm going to. So onward with the grain prices. Corn, future, September, 612. December, 608. March, 615. Soybeans, August, 1614. 1465 for September. November, 1404. January's 1413 a bushel for soybean futures. Soybean meal, August, $499.60 a short ton. September, $437.50. October, $403.70. Soybean oil, August, $69.88. September, $65.43, and that's 65.43 cents. So just a little under a penny a pound, or 65 cents a pound, sorry. Wheat, hard red winter wheat, $8.51 for September. December, $8.58. Live cattle, everything's up on the board today on cattle. Good. August, $138.62. October, live cattle, $144.70. December, $150.70. February, live cattle, $155.07. Feeder cattle, August, $181.70. September is $185.90. So they're up quite a bit today. Lean hogs are even up, $121.77 for August. October's $157. December's $89.72. Cotton is almost $1.02. Like just a little bit, being 102 for October. December's 96 for my Delhi buddy down there in south of Sayre. His sugar's up a little bit, and I'm not talking about in his body. He's got sugar cane growing down there, and he's at 18 cents a pound, so he's making money today. Actually, oil's up just a little bit, but it's still hanging in there right there at $89 to $91 a ton, which are our barrel. Natural gas is down. It's $7.71, $7.70, and $7.78. So urea is still kind of expensive. Let's check out the cash grain prices at the elevators at Oklahoma and Texas. Hard red winter wheat cash price is at $7.86. Corn is at $7.42, Milo's at $6.35, and soybeans at $14.54. Those last four are all cash grain prices. All right, let's go over this real quick. Grains dropped and soybeans were lower in overnight trading as more ships loaded with agriculture products left Ukraine. Four ships reportedly left the Ukrainian port cities of Odessa for Turkey as part of a deal reached last month with Russia. A lone ship last week left Odessa, and then when these four ships loaded out and left, prices started fluctuating a little bit. Agriculture products have been stuck in Ukraine since Russia launched attacks on the country in February. Prior to the Russian attacks, Ukraine was forecast by the USDA to export 24 million metric tons of wheat, making it the world's third biggest shipper of grain. The USDA reported in July wheat shipments from the country will be at around 10 million when it's normally around 24 million. Corn sales were down 62% in the 7 days that ended on July 28. Soybean sales declined 81% and wheat sales were down 39% according to the USDA. Wheat for September delivery lost 12.5 cents to $7.63.25 a bushel overnight on the Chicago Board of Trade, while Kansas City futures dropped 13.25 cents to $8.35 a bushel. Corn futures for December delivery were down 7 cents to $6.03 a bushel. Soybean futures for November delivery fell 1.25 cents. They didn't have a space there. 1.25 cents to $14.07.5 a bushel. Soy meal lost $2.50 to $402.60 a short ton, while soybean oil futures rose 0.82 cents to 64.79 cents a pound. Well, when we come back, we'll be talking to Mr. Jimmy Taylor of the Taylor Ranch in Roger Mills County. But first, Jimbo, I was traumatized in this office a little bit ago.
Well?
Casey, the lady that you see when you come in the front door, she's never ate frog legs. And she was raised around here.
So are you working on getting her to try them?
From her reaction, it ain't never...
And not going to happen.
She's never tried Rocky Mountain oysters either.
You'd think someone from Western Oklahoma would have tried one of the two.
Yeah, well, it's going to happen whether she knows it or not. The threat is there.
She's going to eat some chicken one of these days.
And then she informed me, now you know why I bring my own food to work. So, anyway, but we're going to have a party one of these days with all the employees here. Something's going to happen. And I'm pretty sure she'll never know she ate it. So, anyway, because calf fries, as you well know, is one of my favorite. Mm-hmm. And I think you like them, too. Mm-hmm. And frog legs, I don't know about you, frog legs with you.
I like them.
Yeah. Hey, Sean, have you ever ate frog legs?
Yes.
Okay, cool. That's all we needed to know. You need to talk to Casey at the front desk for me. So anyway, we got lots going on and a big, before I go to break, I want to give a big shout out to all the people, and a lot of them are farmers and ranchers or ag-related businessmen that supported our second annual Quail Forever golf tournament at Sayre Nationals Saturday. It was a big turnout. We raised a lot of good money, and it goes to project. All that money stays right here. In Beckham, Roger Mills, Greer, and Harmon County. It stays right here to support conservation and our youth, our future hunters. But anyway, it was a huge success. And there was no collusion here, but Team KECO, with my boss Blake Brewer as the head captain, they won.
Did they win or win strategically?
They won because they kicked everybody's butts. But no, there was actually them and another team tied. Couple farmers from out around Sweetwater tied them, but they used to be farmers. I think they're in retirement now, but anyway, they tied them, and we had a scorecard playoff, and everybody had a good time. Cud Pressure Control out here west of town, they come over, Don Mooney and Bruce Byerly and Jared Porter, and there was somebody else. Oh, Newcomb was there, and they cooked out for us. We had pork roast and a pork butt and beef sausage.
Sounds like you had a good day, Jimmy.
It was a great day. It was an awesome day. Anyway, thank you again. We're going to have another one next year. And our Quail Forever annual banquet's coming up the end of next month. And you've been to a couple of them. Mm-hmm. And
it's a great time.
Oh, yeah. It's a great time. A good social event. And we raise money for, again, everything going on around here. We support everything from wildlife management areas to providing seed for food plots for farmers and ranchers that are Quail Forever members. And so, anyway, it's a good time. So, when we get back, Mr. Taylor and I are going to talk pretty much cattle, aren't we? So anyway, we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is the Elk City Livestock Auction Market Report for Friday, July 29th. 1,430 head were sold. 3 head of steers at 250 brought 218. 12 at 480 brought 172. 9 at 587 brought 165.50. 7 at 617 brought 158. 17 at 830 brought 167. 5 head of heifers at 423 brought 166.50. 11 at 455 brought 175.50. 4 at 476 brought 176. 6 at 495 brought 165. 7 at 876 brought 146.50. Butcher cows were 12 to 96. Butcher bulls brought 64 to 115. Bred cows were 750 to 1200. Pairs brought 850 to 1475. Elk City Livestock Auction, 3202 South Highway 6, Elk City, Oklahoma. Sale every Friday at 9 a.m. to consign. Call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
It's known as the thief in the night. A lack of cattle mineral can lead to decreased weaning weights, small, weak calves, and severely compromised health. Don't let a gap in your feeding program rob your herd's performance. Stop by Farmers Union Co-op in Elk City and pick up a bag of Purina Wind and Rain Storm Mineral today. Farmers Union Co-op of Elk City is your authorized Purina dealer.
Mosey on down to Hobart Stockyards Weekly Cattle Sale. It's located on Highway 183 North in Hobart, Oklahoma. The sale is every Wednesday at 9:30. If you need to consign, call Rex Fleming at 580-331-8547. They receive cattle all day Mondays and Tuesdays. Buyers can bid in person or online. Hobart Stockyards, where we want your business and do appreciate it.
And we've seen it in our own operation, and we've heard other people tell it too. You go out when it's 105 degrees outside, and you look around, and the black cows are standing in the pond or in the shade trees, and the red cows are out grazing. The red hide color, the cow's going to stand out and eat during the heat of the day. She's not going to be laying under the shade tree and be up eating all night or not putting on weight. When it's been raining and the grass is 3 foot tall, they're going to be out eating all day long. Benji White, B&L Red Angus. BLRedAngus.com on Facebook. Follow us at B&L Red Angus.
Once that gets in your blood, you're not going to get it out. Once you are ate up with cattle, farming, agriculture, it's a hard drug to kick. You're putting a crop out there, you're turning your cows out, and watching what you do grow, and watching the things that you take care of, things you care for, move on with their life cycle. Just seeing a result from your hard work. I'm Jason Redd, and I help make the difference at First National Bank and Trust of Elk City and Sayre.
Member FDIC.
The Day in Ag is back with Jimmy Clark.
Oh, my fan base, really, you guys know how to make my day. 91 degrees currently here at Elk City Mezzanet at the Gabe Gadget. This is the first time ever we're warmer in Elk City than we are west of town at the Mezzanet site. It's 92 degrees here. Let me check out some local temperatures real quick, see who's winning the battle in our listening area. Altus, man, you guys are always winning. Anyway, you guys can win at this all you want. 98 degrees at Altus. It is 94 at Shamrock, 94 at Wheeler, 87 at Canadian, and Arnett. Jimbo, you know who Arnett is, the famous home for?
No, I don't.
Lori Campbell.
Okay. Well, I knew that, I guess.
Yeah, I know you knew that. It's 87 degrees there. They're a cool spot. They must be getting some rain up north because it's 76 degrees at Buffalo.
Yep.
And anyway, so 102 is the hottest spot in Oklahoma right now, and that is at Walters. Anyway, Senor Taylor, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, John.
Oh, yeah, it's always a pleasure to have you on here.
Before we start, I'd like to know, how do you get to one of those right spots to get one of those showers? I'm not having much luck. Even using the broken clock theory, I'm not getting any showers.
Well, I don't know. Does Jesus have some magical powers?
Well, if he has, he's not used them yet.
Have you told him you needed to use them?
I think I have. Yeah. We're pulling out all the stops now. This drought is getting pretty severe.
Yeah, and you know, it affects what you and I do daily, what we're doing. And You know, you got a pretty good size operation up there, and I think talking to you a few times, you're pretty smart on what you do. You don't overgraze anything. That way you can rotate, even if you got to feed hay back to certain areas.
We stockpile grass. We rotate pastures, take half, leave half. The downside of that, when fire season comes, you've got fuel for a fire, which right. We found that out.
Oh my gosh,
a few
yes.
months back. But I do have some grass left. We've got more of a water situation going on now than we do no grass.
Is that what's that creek that runs through the sandstone?
We've got two. Sandstone runs across a little of the ranch, but the one that runs the width is Current Creek.
Okay.
Both originate right over there around 283.
Right.
And head east. And they actually come together right after they leave my place. It comes together, and it's all sandstone from there to when it goes into the Washita River.
And then is the creeks running low? Is that what you're telling me?
Well, most places are not running. It's very little where there's a spring in one. We've got a little bit of water running, but most of it, I'm guessing 75% of it's dry right now.
Right. Yeah, because the river behind my house is dry.
Well, I've been in drought mode for a couple of months now, and that's thinking back to 2011, 2012. That's when you're everything you do, you're thinking drought along with that. What do I need to be checking now? You know, back in those years, it was like I was a half a step ahead of disaster
right. At
all times, and you can't forget. To think about the water in every pasture. Even though you had some a week ago, when those ponds get so low that it's shallow, the evaporation rate seems like speeds up, and you'll lose your water before you think you're going to.
Yeah, because I looked on the internet this morning, and they're predicting the evaporation rate today is like 0.7, or no, what was it, 0.675, which is 5/8 of an inch. That don't sound like much, but you take a pond, say you that big pond over there west of your house, mm-hmm. you know, that's a lot of water that just goes away.
Right.
Every day.
It's still got some depth to it, so we're okay there, but some of those littler farm ponds, when it gets shallow, that speeds up.
Yeah.
Quite a bit.
Yeah. And then just, you go out there one day and like, that's a mud hole.
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, well, everything, are you fully recovered from the fire?
We still have some fences to put in, but we've got them patched up where we can run cattle in there.
Right.
We were fortunate enough to have a couple of rains toward the end of May, 1st of June, that got some grass to grow in those areas. I think you were out there, saw pictures afterwards where it looked like the surface of the moon out there where that fire had come across. But that's healed back in most places, but still have some fences to repair
up
to build.
Right now you're in full cattle operation mode, because you probably got a couple different things going on out there with the cows right now.
We do. We calve twice a year, so we're in different phases with each one. Our spring calvers, we are just did our preg checks, our first preg check on them. We do it a little early. We did it after two times to get bred. We have AI day. And then 18 to 24 days after that, they'll come into heat again. And we got past that. So those are the ones that we preg check. And those were the ones that we would have determined if they were pregnant or not. We preg checked everything. But the others, we will have to re-preg them later on. But I was running short on grass. Grass, that's another thing during the drought. Your pastures go quicker.
Right.
So we checked them, and we were 78% bred in those first two periods.
That's so, pretty good.
Yeah. We were a little behind normal. I'm guessing a normal, I'm about 85% bred after those, you know, sometime day 34, day 35 after your AI. And then we'll have that other time to come back and get them in the 40-day range will be our next check.
While we're on that subject, UAI to start with, mm-hmm. and then your second cycle, is that when you got the bulls in there with them, or you AI again?
No, we turn the bulls in right after we AI.
Okay.
So we in some cases, 12 hours after.
Okay.
I think one group we had it 6 hours after. But the AI should have taken by then. It's got a head start
right.
at that point. And, yep. And then that way the bull can pick up any that are maybe didn't respond to the cedar and the AI protocol
right.
as quick as a little delayed, which they would be out of the window to get bred the AI way, but the bull will be there to pick those up that are a few hours later.
Well, you know, I've got smarter since you and I, since you come on the show, and I started paying very hard attention to what you're doing out there. So here's the deal. You took me up to the feedlot one day, and that's when we went out there and picked out the defensive linemen and the defensive backs. Remember that?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I understood what you were doing after you explained it to me that we're walking through your lot of calves out there at the feedlot, and you're wanting to pick out those defensive backs and check their mamas and the bulls that they had. Mm-hmm. That made that calf right there. So you can make changes because you want all linemen, correct?
Well, and you're talking the growth. We were
right.
looking at the growth,
right.
how well they had done to that stage. And I always look at the lighter end, the end
right.
that needs changes. The good ones, when I was first starting out, I like to look at those and be proud of them, but... If you're making adjustments, that's not the ones you need to look at. You look at the ones that are falling behind or not quite fitting in for some reason. So we were picking out the lighter calves, and,
right.
and I was marking them down, and then I went back and looked at who their mom was and who their dad was. And
you did some adjusting.
Do some adjusting. Might cull a cow, might not use that bull again.
Right.
Depending
right.
on what we saw.
So when you're AI in here, like you're saying, and you mm-hmm. turn the bulls in with those cows right after you AI, and I know as particular as you are because you look at the numbers, the marbling, all everything on that mm-hmm. chart, do you know that all these bulls that you're turning in with these cows that you AI'd, are they going to fit that neat?
Well, actually, since I got those numbers, and those numbers are in 17 different traits, my bull battery looks different because before I had numbers, I was guessing. So I wanted a bull that was good across the board.
Right.
But now I need a bull, since I know the milk situation of each female, for instance, you pick that trait, I know which ones are too heavy milkers for my environment. Or are not milking enough. So I need a bull not in the middle, not an average bull for milking. I need a bull that, I'll need some of those, but I also need a bull that is high in milk so I can adjust up my cows that need help in that area. And I need a bull that is lower in milk, below average, to bring those down that milk too much for my environment.
So you've got your cattle kind of separated what you want there, I'm taking it.
In different pastures?
Yes.
We do a little of that.
Yep.
But now those are AI bulls I'm talking about.
Right.
Now, my bulls, we can't have that extreme bull for milk in the herd because we can't control all the cows. That's
what I was getting at there.
Okay.
Yeah. That was an easy question. I could have asked that, but I wanted people to know what you go through to get mm-hmm. to that point.
Now, my breeding season on those bulls, we'll leave them in, we'll pull them at day 50 to 55, depending on what's going on my mature cow herd. My heifer herd, we give them 25 days to get bred, and we'll pull bulls after that. It hurts me a little bit on the heifers because my conception rate is not as good as it would be if I left them longer. I lose some genetics there. Typically, we'll run 18 to 23% open after 25 days. Last two or three times, it's been more toward the 18%. So we're gaining there. But where it pays off is that preg check we did on the cow herd there. That was just the first two cycles, and we had 78% bred. Normally, when we're not in a drought year, we run up toward that 85%. But looking back the last two seasons before this, I was, after that 50 to 55 days, the last one was like 3.8% open, and the one before that was 2% open. So it pays off by having that short heifer breeding season. It pays off in your cow herd more so each year.
And then we have a drought. And you know, and first time I took my cows over to Canute to get them AI'd over there 5, 6, 7 years ago, whenever it was hot and the heat. And no, it was not hot that year. And I had almost 80% conception rate. I mean, it was great. Mm-hmm. And then the next year, same time period, took the same cows back over there, and it was 55-60%, but it was so hot. Mm-hmm. And you know, there was no wind, and they did have some shade, and they were pinned up because I had to take it to another guy's to get them bred. But heat, the temperatures make a world of difference.
Oh yeah, there's a lot of things that can play into that temperature, hot wise or cold wise. I remember one AI season, of course, when you start that protocol, you're kind of locked into a day that you're going to AI, and it just so happened that the high that day was going to be right at freezing, and a lot of it below, and there was a wind. We didn't have any shelter where we were doing this, just out in the open chute, and we pulled in a deer blind, double deer blind, and put a heat lamp inside for the people that were thawing the straws out. Now, those of us on the outside, we suffered a little more. It got kind of cozy inside there, where we put Tracy in there too. She keeps the records.
Right.
So she and the person that were thawing
that
the
was
straws.
A smart move on your part.
I think the day went better.
How is Miss Tracy?
She's doing well.
Good. Anyway, tell her I said hi if she's not listening. But anyway, Jimbo, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll continue.
All right. Sounds good.
If you're just joining us, I have Mr. Jimmy Taylor. Him and Tracy, they own the Taylor Ranch up here in Roger Mills County, and we're talking cattle today, and we're going to talk a little more about cattle, and we're going to hit on some other stuff happening with the cattle nationwide, worldwide actually, and we'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
This is Jerry Nine, owner of the Woodward Livestock Auction. For sale last Tuesday, August 2nd, we sold 627 cows, bulls, and kids. Thursday, August the 4th, we sold 2,058 kids and feeders for a total of 2,685 cows for the week. Very good cow market. It was 11 to 14 higher feeders. Some of our big heifers was up to 12 higher. Extremely good market. Better killing cows, 85 to 95. Thin cows bring 50 up to 80. Bulls bring 80 to 114. 5-day-year-old bred cows, 12-25 with their 5-day-year-old pairs. 1310 to 1525. Hunter steer cattle, 3 to 3, 350 to 4 weight steers, $2 to 201. 450 to 5 weights, 189 to 205. 5 to 550 steers, 178 to 194. 6 to 650, 169 to 175. 7 to 750, 174 to 179. 8 to 850, 170 to 174.75. We sell 106 black steers, one bunch, weighing 855 for 174.60. That's 1493 a head. We sold 167 brothers just like them, black steers weighing 957, price 171.25, $1,638 a head. 55 mixed color cattle, 916, brought 170, and 51 steers weighing 1056, price 154. All them better feeder steers went to the north. Honor heifers, three white heifers, bring 570 a head to 600. Our 4 to 450 heifers, 170 to 187. 5 to 550, 168 to 178.5. 6 to 650, 160 to 175. 7 to 750, 163 to 166. 8 to 850 heifers, 162 to 162.5. And 950 to 1,000 pound heifers, mostly them heifers that didn't breed, 148 to 149. For this Tuesday, August the 9th, we will have 42 pairs. They're 2 and 3 years old with a few 5 to 7 year olds. We got another 70 bred cows, 5 to 9 years old. We got 30 bred cows and pairs running age. Then the following Tuesday, August 16th, we'll have 30 of very nice black bred heifers, extremely nice AI. Start Kevin January the 20th. We'll see you this Tuesday, 8 a.m. sharp. Thanks again, Jerry Nine, and the Woodward Livestock Auction.
This hour's weather brought to you by Hobart Farm and Garden.
Every farmer and rancher knows nutrition is key when it comes to getting the best out of every animal. That's why you need feed that's built the reputation on providing the best nutrition possible. iPro Feed's commitment to nutrition is unwavering. Buy the best and get the results you deserve. Hobart Farm and Garden is your local high-pro feeds dealer providing quality feeds in bulk, bags, or sacks. Visit them online at HobartFarmAndGarden.com.
We've been part of Western Oklahoma's ag industry since statehood. I'm Marty Maddox from Great Plains Bank in Elk City. We proudly support our local FFA labor auctions and premium sales. Our local lenders have a combined 127 years of banking experience. We handle all ag-related loans, like land purchases, farm operating loans, and stocker lines of credit. And we recently helped over 700 area farmers and ranchers with their PPP loans. Great Plains Bank in Elk City is here to lend agriculture a helping hand. Member FDIC.
If you're a farmer or rancher, you rely on a business that can help you get the things you need fast so you can get back to work. Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma is that business. They carry farm equipment, oil-filled cattle guards, and fencing supplies. How about a cattle chute or hay trailer? They've got them. You need welding supplies? They've got that too. Learn more at everettswelding.com or see their ad inside the Penny News. That's Everett's Welding and Repair in Bisei, Oklahoma.
Ron Hayes here. Here's what the good folks are saying about SEI Agritech's Livestock Nutrition Center's feed and minerals.
Hello, this is Sean Wyatt. I have a cow-calf operation, and I buy my feed from Kent Watkins at SEI Agritech in Elk City. Kent will provide the best service possible. I highly recommend giving SEI Agritech a call about your feed and minerals.
If you want better feed and better results, visit SEI Agritech in Elk City, your local Livestock Nutrition Center authorized distributor, located on South Randall in Elk City.
Jimmy's all wound up and ready to go. Here comes more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
93 degrees here with the Gabe Gadget in the studio. Couple quick things before we get back to talk to Mr. Taylor is the reason I brought up the frog legs is they had the big frog gigging contest down there at Carter over the weekend, and it was a huge success. They had the big flag flying down there, United States flag flying on the big crane down there. It was an awesome deal. And I think the pictures are disappeared, but on Facebook they had, I know, at least one, if not two 55-gallon barrels of frog legs in there. That's a lot of frog legs. That's what brought it up. But here's you a Jimmy recipe of the day. I usually give beef recipes, but here, we'll try this one. Try this with your frog legs. Lemon lime jello, crushed pineapple, lightly shredded mild cheese, mix it together and put it with your frog legs. That actually sounds pretty good. So anyway, thanks for the recipe. Anyway, welcome back, Mr. Jimmy Taylor. We are from the Taylor Ranch in Roger Mills County. We're talking cattle. We got a little extended on talking about AI, but that's one of the questions one of the gentlemen from the Southbound Round Table this morning wanted to ask about. How many times he cycles through his cows, lets them cycle, and he wants a tight window. And I was also, you know about my experiment that I was doing with, and a lot of people do it, about getting my cows AI ready, but I turn the bulls in with them because I want that small. You make all my calves down there in that place are almost identical sizes, and that makes a world of difference if you're taking them to the sale barn or wherever.
Makes a good uniform group.
Yeah, makes a good uniform group. And so, but you're getting ready. I got some coming up calving too, so you got a bunch coming up. You're getting ready to start calving again.
Right. We those ones that we preg checked, we moved them out to get them off the grass. Well, like we were talking, the droughts kind of speeded that up this year. But our fall group, we have moved them in to the area where we're going to calve. We moved 105 in the other day. Those are our AI bred ones, and we've got the ones that are bull bred in a different pasture that we'll bump them up now, and that way we won't have too many in one pen. One pasture.
Right, your calving pasture.
Right.
And that's along the creek, I guess?
Yeah, Bermuda Trap down in there. Yeah. Yes,
I remember that place well.
Yep. So we've got them in there. We've had three calves so far.
Okay.
And we'll typically start day 265, 266 on gestation. Normal is on an Angus is 283 days. So, you know, knowing what my herd does, we'll try to get them in that trap a couple of days before they're going to have that calf. So they're in a big pasture before that. And there's a lot of canyons in there. It'd be difficult to go find them.
When do you AI your fall calvers?
Around the 17th, 18th of November.
Okay.
Somewhere.
I was asking because I just now thought, when am I going to start calving without looking at my book? But I turned a bull in December.
Okay.
So I'm looking at next month or the month after.
Yep. September.
Not too far, but they're showing. I can tell they're pregnant.
Well, the good thing about that, it'll be cooled off by then, where you won't have that to contend with. In that Bermuda trap, what we have to watch this time of year is a mom walking off and leaving her calf out in the open, going under the shade tree, and then it gets hotter and hotter as the day goes on. So we'll have four-wheelers out there, and if that happens, we'll pick that calf up and take it to mom. Now, all our cows are numbered.
Yep.
And that's what Jesus does first thing every morning, is rides through them, and any new calves there, he'll put a tag in their ear that matches the mom's number.
Right.
So he'll know if he's got a problem or has to pick one up and take it to mom. He'll know which calf goes to which calf. One.
That makes it simple, because you have black cattle just like I do, mm-hmm. and they do get warm. Do you have one question I have for you? Is it harder on the cows to calve in August than it is in February, January, or is it a toss up?
You know, it depends on the year, Jimmy. I probably think the fall is a little easier because you're not contending with don't have any blizzard possibilities. You know, that's very extreme.
Yes.
You know, we've got heat to deal with, but and there'll be hotter days than others, but it's the one thing, and it's easy to fix. The cold, it seems to amplify every problem you have by times 10,
when that's going on. If you're having a calve during a blizzard, like I had three or four last year, and I wouldn't call it an outright blizzard, but it was cold, and your time to save that calf is limited.
Oh, yeah.
You've got to get him dry.
When that wind chills down around minus 30, minus 40,
Start freezing.
You've got to be right there with them.
Yep, and so they handle the heat probably way better than that,
didn't? Right, they can go longer there. You've got a little more time to make your adjustment.
And so, how many did you tell me you had to calve?
193 total.
That ain't bad.
We moved 39 AI heifers in yesterday, and the day before we moved 105 AI cows in. We had one calf in that big pasture I was telling you about.
Yep.
So she showed up, and she's calved and looked nursed. So we'll just wait till she brings it up, and then we'll pop her in the gate, put her with the others.
Yeah. And there's nothing like I just love calving season when everything is going good. Don't get me wrong, but man, the things you can learn when things go bad. Because even there's no telling how many cows you've calved out in your lifetime, but have you quit learning?
No, you learn something all the time, and I guess I've gotten smarter. I've eliminated some of those things that were causing me problems.
Right.
When I was a lot younger. and we've got better EPDs for bull selection.
There we go.
Better technology that helps that along too.
And that it seems to be, especially the last week on the websites, whether it's successful farming or Pro Farmer or Texas Cattleman or whatever, or Beef Daily, there's something coming up every day about genetics.
Mm-hmm.
And people need to pay attention. And it's not an overnight success. I think you were just getting dead serious about all this genetics, studying this stuff back when I was fracking a well on your ranch back in 2011 or 12. And here we are 10 years later, and you've come a long ways.
Well, they came out with genomically enhanced EPDs in 2010. That's where they combined the DNA with the EPDs from the pedigrees and weight information, things like that. And when they did that, those EPDs became approximately 7 times more accurate than they had been. So now you can hang your hat on them a little more. When you go to that sale and you got some heifers to breed and you're picking a bull. But not only that, used to it was just you had a choice between a heifer bull or one for your cows.
Right.
Now they've got those curve benders where if you know how to read those EPDs, you can look at the birth information and get an easy calving one but get one that will also grow just like a bull that was intended for cows years ago. So right. You get the best of both worlds that way.
Well, if you were going to tell somebody how to go about learning more about EPDs, what direction would you shoot them in?
Of course, I use Angus. So the Angus website has a lot of information about EPDs, a lot of definitions. The way I learn quite a bit is when I was selecting bulls, I look at a lot of sale catalogs, and you can educate yourself by looking at everything in those different catalogs. And those catalogs will be different depending on what that purebred breeder is offering, you know, what he specializes in.
Right.
And that's probably where those two sources are where I got most of my education there. Talking to other breeders, too, right. You know, just like you do in a coffee shop, bouncing ideas off each other.
Well, when I rode with you to Texas to a bull sale down there, you had it narrowed down to one or two bulls already with 100 bulls being there.
Right.
And that made your stuff really simple, huh?
Yes, and I'm pretty picky on what fits my operation. And mine's, everybody's operation's different as to what their goal is.
Right.
So I know what my goals are, I know what parameters are, and in a 500 bull catalog, I'll come up with maybe five that will fit, maybe one or two, like was that sale. Could be as many as 10, but on an average, about five.
And I'd say you're a pretty good judge, because I think those two bulls that you'd picked out, if I remember right, I might be wrong, those two bulls you'd picked out down there was some of their higher sellers.
Well, and that's the problem, though. Other people tend to like them, too. And you know, if a semen company gets involved or a consortium of purebred breeders, there's no way I can justify that. I'm a commercial herd,
right?
So I've got a limit on what I can justify, which will pencil out.
Yeah, but, you can't go buy a $30,000 bull for a commercial herd. I don't care who you are.
Right.
You can buy a $30,000 bull for a registered herd, or $30,000 bull if you're doing show cattle, show quality cattle, and stuff like that, because you can get your money back. Mm-hmm. But just an operation like yours or mine. Mine's commercial. You got to be careful what you do.
Right. Now, I get bonuses on my calves when I sell them. I retain ownership all the way through the feedlot.
Right.
And last time I tracked it, I believe I averaged $340 a head in bonuses. So that allows me to maybe spend a little bit more on a bull than I could if I was just selling pounds at weaning or pounds at yearling. The other thing I do that helps me buy a little better bull or justify that is when I'm calving two times a year, I've got two breeding seasons. I don't have to breed them all at once, so I can use him twice in a year. So I get twice the number of cows.
So he's not on vacation 10 months out of the year.
Right, right.
Yeah. But you also got to keep him ready to go, too.
Right.
So anyway, well, Mr. Taylor, we have to take a break. And when we come back, I'll have the Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. And then we're going to talk about beef again, but about some exports and stuff maybe. See what's happening going on there.
Sounds good.
All right. We'll be right back after this. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO.
Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers. It's heavier steel. They're built better. They're tough. They've got rubber flooring, every kind of amenity that you can think of in a ranch trailer. They're framed in differently so that you're not having crackouts and breaks in the trailer frame. Their tires come 18 ply. Farmers and ranchers love Hughes trailers, and we've got them. The name of our business is Cattle King Manufacturing. We're 2 miles south of the golf course here at Elk City on Highway 6. On Facebook, just search Cattle King Manufacturing. 303-4246. 303-4246.
With spring planting wrapping up and early summer harvest now underway, have peace of mind knowing you can depend on Western Equipment, your local John Deere dealer, to keep you in the field and running efficiently. With over 100 fully equipped service trucks, we will meet you wherever you are, whenever you need us, with zero unexpected fees or surcharges to worry about. Also, don't forget about our $99 inspections available when bringing in multiple machines. Call your local Western Equipment location today, and we'll have a truck headed your way.
This is the Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction Market Report for Monday, August 1st. 2,238 head were sold. 6 head of steers at 383 brought 202. 5 at 677 brought 157. 9 at 685 brought 174.50. 16 at 849 brought 163. 14 at 905 brought 164. 4 head of heifers at 439 brought 186. 7 at 539 brought 162. 12 at 638 brought 167.50. 6 at 833 brought 152. 101 at 1,006 brought 146. Butcher cows were 11 to 86. Butcher bulls brought 80 to 110. Pairs brought 850 to 1225. Western Oklahoma Livestock Auction, exit 71, Clinton, Oklahoma. Sale every Monday at 10 a.m. To consign, call Brandon Hickey at 580-497-6095.
Farmers Trust Farm Bureau agent Mickey Lively, because he's a farmer himself.
I think they trust me because I can relate to them to begin with. I mean, I farm, I run cattle. I understand their business. I understand, you know, what needs to be protected, how it needs to be protected. I understand how important, I mean, that's their life. That's their livelihood. And I understand they need, you know, they need insurance on that tractor. They need to make sure that those cattle are insured if a storm comes through, because if it damages that stuff, they just lost their business. I get that. I understand it. I live the same life. I enjoy it, and I understand what they do. To me, that's something of a little bit of comfort level. People know they can call me anytime, and they can. I mean, I really mean that.
I'm Mickey Lively with Oklahoma Farm Bureau. My office is located in Greer County, and my job is to protect your business. Call me anytime at 580-782-3827.
Life insurance and annuity products offered through Farm Bureau Life Insurance Company. Property and casualty products are offered through Oklahoma Farm Bureau Mutual Insurance and affiliated companies.
He loves talking about farming and ranching. Here's more of Today in Ag with Jimmy Clark on 96.5 KECO.
Man, time flies when you're in the studio. You know that? We got, currently, it's 93 degrees at the Elk City Mezzanet. Here's your Hobart Farm and Garden Long Ranger forecast. Today, 40% chance of storms. Tonight, 30%. Tomorrow, 40%. High 96. Tomorrow night, 30%. Wednesday, 30%. 94. And 20% Wednesday night. And then sunny Thursday and Friday with highs around 95, 96. That's way better than the 100 degrees plus. So, and I don't care who you are, I'll take them temperatures over the 100 degrees. Mr. Taylor, Jimmy Taylor was with me here on the show today. He's the, him and Tracy own the Taylor Ranch, which is in the middle, not in the middle, southeastern part of Roger Mills, isn't it? Yeah, southeastern part of Roger Mills County. And we're not going to get to talk about everything we want to, but you're involved with a lot of organizations. You're a very active person, and I got to, you see a lot of stuff going on the internet talking about exports all the time. And I was talking about last week on the show about how Africa is becoming, can become a more active part of beef exports.
Right.
And you told me something last week, and I don't even remember what you told me. It shows I got too much ag information going into my hard drive. And things look really good on the export side right now, don't they?
They do. Domestically, which most people are familiar with, demand is at a 33-year high. A really good demand here in the United States. But as good as our demand has been here, the export markets are on fire. Probably 15% of the beef that we produce is exported. To put in perspective how good that those export demand markets are right now is, before last year, before 2021, we had never done a month over $800 million in a month in exports. Last year, we did 9 of the 12 months over $800 million. Starting in 2022, we're averaging over $1 billion a month.
Wow.
We're
that's a lot of beef.
halfway through the year,
yeah.
We are at $6.19 billion in value worth of exports. Now, how that that helps our producers is that adds value to each fed animal. May, which was the top month, we did $1.09 billion worth of exports there. That added $505, over $505 per fed animal. Now, the producer doesn't get all this, but the farther he takes that calf into the supply chain,
right,
the more he's going to get. If you sell as a weaning calf, you're not going to get as much as if you retain ownership through the feedlot. And how you get that money is those people that have those export markets, they're making more so they can pay more for those calves.
Okay.
And that trickles right on down. Those calves are more valuable to them, so they're competing with other exporters, so they'll bet them up a little more. But it's I think on the year the number's like $475, $480 added value per fed head.
That's quite a bit of money. I mean, yeah, like you said, you don't the producer doesn't get all that, but if he does, he takes his all the way through to the feedlot and sells to the packers or processors up there. You do get bonuses.
He'll get more of that.
Yeah. Now, is that part of your bonus that you say you get, that your added value?
Yes.
That's part of it.
Yes, it is, because there's all natural market, and there's NHTC is another bonus I get. That's non-hormone treated cattle.
Right.
And that's about the only kind that they like in Europe. Some of my cattle go to Europe, and they will pay more money if I don't implant them.
Well, I got a question for you.
Oh, okay.
And I won't throw you for a loop.
Okay.
But how has the increased cattle slaughter numbers, are they going to be, are the exports going to be affected by that? Because we're, you know, the drought's going on in different areas and people are culling. Right. Is that going to affect their export numbers?
It probably not. It'll affect imports a lot more than exports. Those increased numbers are cows. And export-wise, it will put more into the beef variety meat classification, which that's about a tenth of the export market. And that's things that we don't have a market for over here, such as tongues, livers, tripe. But tongues, I'll use that as the example. Japan is our number one market for tongues. Those sell for $11 a pound over there.
Wow.
And they'll buy about all the tongues,
right,
because people love them over there.
Right.
By having this extra amount of tongues on, some of the secondary markets that can't compete at that $11 level, their population likes tongues, but they can't pay $11 a pound and come out.
Right.
But they could pay less, and that's what will happen. So, but as far as just like ribeyes and things like that, you're not going to see much change there.
Right.
Now, where it does affect is the amount of cattle imported. It will be less because of the increased cow kill. That cow kill goes as lean trim. Most of the animal goes for lean trim, and that's mixed with fat trim from the cattle that are fed out at a feedlot. That's like a 50-50 muscle to fat ratio.
Okay.
That's unmerchantable. You know, that would be a rendering value without this lean trim I'm talking about. But you mix that cow meat with it, all of a sudden they can bump it up to that 80-90% lean, and they've got a market for it.
Right.
So we've got about, on a normal year, our cow slaughter would take about 50% of that, the need. It would supply 50% of the need, our cow slaughter would. So we've got to get that other 50% from somewhere, and that's where the imports.
What's come from?
Most of the imports are lean trim from other countries, mostly Australia, New Zealand.
Right.
In fact, 72% of imports are that lean trim. So since we've got more domestic cow slaughter, that's taking those slots up. We'll need less imports coming in.
And then, the music's playing. We're out of time. But when things get lined out and we come out of that drought and people start adding more cows back to their herd with that kind of reverse,
it'll swing the other way.
Right, yeah.
Because we've got to have enough to make those hamburgers that people like. Now, 98% of that those imports that make that mix between lean trim and fat trim, that goes to the fast food industry.
I got you. Mr. Taylor, we're out of town. Thank you very much for coming by and stopping by.
Thanks for having me, Jim.
Tell Mr. Jesus I said hello and give him his Christmas present.
I'll do it.
All right. It's Today in Ag on 96.5 KECO. God bless.
Damage. I'm Rich Dennison, Fox News. President Biden and First Lady Jill Biden are in eastern Kentucky, where they visited areas where flash flooding and landslides killed at least 37 people.
We've suffered a consequence of climate change, a significant number of weather catastrophes around the nation.
President Biden has expanded federal disaster assistance to Kentucky, ensuring the federal government will cover the full cost of debris removal and other emergency measures. Flooding remains a threat in the region, with more storms expected through Thursday. Travis McMichael, the white man who fatally shot Ahmaud Arbery after chasing the 25-year-old black man in Georgia, along with his father Greg, who initiated that chase, were sentenced today to life in prison for committing a federal hate crime. Both were sentenced earlier this year to life without parole in a Georgia state court for Arbery's murder. Neighbor William Bryan will be sentenced later today. President Biden is urging final House passage of the Democrat-backed Inflation Reduction Act, which was approved by the split Senate yesterday.
Even though they've dubbed this bill the Inflation Reduction Act, the Congressional Budget Office found that it will have little to no impact on inflation, the biggest issue for voters this year and maybe next year. Democrats say prescription drug costs will fall after Medicare negotiations. They also believe that energy costs will be reduced by rebates and credits. But experts say that money remaining in people's pockets will still be in circulation. It'll have no impact on overall inflation.
Fox's Jackie Heinrich